This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's Tuesday the 23rd of May. Welcome to The Informer. I'm David Gale.
And I'm Ian Muchamore.
On tonight's show, we follow up on last night's breaking news on The Informer about the HIV seroconversion of a PrEPEX participant. We'll be chatting to Professor Jennifer Hoy from the Alfred, Simon Ruth from the Victorian AIDS Council, and Daryl O'Donnell from the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations.
And later on, we'll bring you news about the new LGBTI mental health clinic launched today in Melbourne. Now, yesterday, it became public knowledge that a person on the PrEPEX study in Melbourne had seroconverted and tested positive for HIV. Is this really headline news? Have we got our facts straight? What is misleading and just unhelpful gossip? And where next for making PrEP widely available and reaching towards an end for HIV transmissions in Australia? We've spoken to lots of experts and community leaders to inform us. First up, I spoke to Jennifer Hoy, who is Director of the Victorian HIV Service at the Alfred. We have on the line Professor Jennifer Hoy, Director of the Victorian HIV Service at the Alfred. Welcome to The Informer, Jenny.
Thank you, Ian, and good evening to you.
Is this news a surprise? Is it really news?
Look, I don't think we should be calling it news. I think that there are several reasons why people can become HIV positive while taking PrEP. And one of the most common reasons is because they have difficulty taking the medication for whatever reason, whether it's side effects or life just gets in the way. So that would be the most likely reason. I think a very rare and common reason is the development of drug resistance. And this has only been documented twice in the world at this point.
At this point, what are the facts that we know?
So at this point, all we know is that a participant in the study has tested positive during a routine monitoring visit. We need to give the PrEPEX study team time to talk to that participant, maintaining confidentiality and ensuring his well-being, and also trying to understand what happened.
There's been speculation on social media for a few days now, even before the official announcement. Are there any misconceptions out there that you can fix for us? I mean, one of the things that has been out there is that there's a PrEP-resistant strain of HIV out here in Melbourne.
So I think that is incorrect. There is not a PrEP-resistant strain of HIV circulating in Melbourne. In fact, if we look at the surveillance information from the Victorian Infectious Diseases Reference Laboratory, there has not been any resistance in new HIV infections to tenofovir, one part of the PrEP medication, and there's less than 1% resistance in the other part of the PrEP medication, the emtricitabine. So I think we can clearly say there is no circulating resistant virus.
That's very good news. What's the message you've got for people who are currently taking PrEP at the moment?
Well, I think we need to reassure people that PrEP is the most effective tool that we have in the prevention toolbox, and that it prevents 99% of infections when it's taken on a daily basis, and that people should feel confident in that information and continue to take their PrEP.
How is privacy being protected in this study?
So all individuals in this study, it's like any clinical research trial, the involvement of individuals is kept private. They are only identified as initials and numbers in the central database. They're not named at all. And privacy is very important to the PrEPEX study team.
Could the news have been handled better?
I think that we should just remember that PrEP is extremely extremely effective, and that we should not concern individuals that there is the potential for it not working. It is 99% effective. We should remain confident and transmit that confidence to the PrEPEX participants.
Professor Jenny Hoy, thank you very much for being on The Informer. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.
On the line now, we have Simon Ruth, the CEO of the VAC. Hello, Simon.
Sorry about that. I heard you introduce me and the call dropped out.
So. Oh, look, that's okay. Look, it's great to have you on the line. We've just been listening to Jennifer Hoy, who is the Director of Victorian HIV Services from the Alfred. Look, you know, the news about this seroconversion, are you happy about how the news came out?
Well, no, not particularly. You know, in an ideal world, it would have been investigated properly. It would have been announced at appropriate time. We would actually know what we're talking about. It did start breaking on social media, and we don't know why that's occurred, but it did start breaking on social media, and then Fairfax basically advised that they'll be publishing an article, which is what prompted VAC to put out our press release, because we didn't want... We weren't sure what direction the Fairfax article would take, and we didn't want people, you know, needlessly becoming... afraid or running to their GPs or going off the medication. So we wanted to try and get some sanity back into what was being said out there.
Yeah, look, you know, like a lot of people, you know, I woke up this morning and turned to page 3 and there it was in the Fairfax newspaper. What worries you when you see that sort of speculation spreading through social media and then, you know, being advised that there's going to be a story? Are you worried that people are, what, going to stop taking drugs or, you know, their PrEP drugs, or what really worries you?
You know, all in all, I think the Fairfax article, you know, it was fairly moderate. They could have taken it in all different directions. They could have blamed gay men for their sex lives, and they could have done that quite stigmatising stuff that we have seen in other papers over time, but I don't think they actually did that. I guess the real fear for us as an AIDS organisation is that people start panicking. Doctors get flooded with people wanting to come in and get tested suddenly, which then means these drugs are currently prescribed by S100 prescribers, which are the same doctors that people living with HIV need to see. So if, you know, a bunch of the people on the program were coming back and wanting to get tested, that would make it more difficult for people living with HIV to get in, get their scripts, get their health checked. It would have a flow-on effect, and it just creates a lot of needless fear and anxiety for everybody. We know, you know, there's only been 2 cases globally that have been proven of resistant HIV, and in both those cases, they were isolated cases that were contained, well managed, and the people who contracted HIV are now living well and undetectable and getting on with their lives.
Simon?
Ian
Muchamore here. Do you think the community is getting enough accurate information about, let's call it the new safe sex, about all of the different elements? You know, the world has changed a bit. Do you think the community is well enough informed?
Yeah, well, I'd be keen to know what you think, Ian. I mean, we've been talking about PrEP now for 3 or 4 years. ACON has just run an excellent campaign talking about the different options. It is difficult messaging. We've changed 30 years of messaging in the last 18 months. For 30 years, we said, wear condoms and go on treatment when you're ready. And we've now changed our messages to, well, there's condoms, there's PrEP, and there's undetectable viral load. And once you're diagnosed with HIV, you should immediately go into treatment because it's better for your health and better for the community. So it's a difficult period that worldwide we're seeing all AIDS organisations grappling with how we change these messages and how we deliver them to the community. And something like undetectable viral load and even PrEP, they're medically complex and they're not easy messages to convey. And we're seeing people across the globe, some people doing it well and other people not doing it quite so well. And then you've got people like the AIDS Healthcare Foundation jumping in there and saying the sky's falling in and trying to create a lot of crisis about it because it's drying up their funding pool. But I think we're all trying to deliver messages. I heard Jenny at the end of Jenny's interview. You know, PrEP is incredibly reliable. We're seeing HIV figures drop in many Western countries because of the availability of PrEP, and it will change the world along with our understanding now of undetectable viral load. And between them, they will also decrease HIV stigma, which is a great thing for the whole community.
Community advocacy has been hugely important in getting these messages across, hasn't it? I mean, what's its role at the current time in getting PrEP out there?
Oh, look, I couldn't speak more highly about community advocacy than we have here in Victoria. I mean, we've had Time for Prep, Prep Access Now and Prep for Change, when we were going through that incredibly difficult period of, you know, very small trials, people wanting to get onto Prep. Prep Access Now, creating an import scheme through Green Cross Pharmacy in Swaziland, you know, that was fairly unique at the time. There's now a lot of competition in that space and it's driving prices down. So, but Prep Access Now overnight cut the price in half. They did amazing work advocating that area. And Prep for Change as well, about getting reliable, evidence-based health information out to the community. And when we're, you know, I was talking to both of them when we were writing our press release. I was running it by both those organisations, asking them what they thought and whether they thought this was useful for their groups. I mean, you know, we want to talk to the people who have access to the people who want the information.
Because Jennifer said that in Melbourne, the PrepX trial is full at the moment, but through these other services, they can get PrEP, can't they?
Yeah, so PrepX is currently full, and, you know, hopefully one of the drugs gets approved by PBAC in July, and we see PrEP available on the PBS by the end of the year.
Right.
But certainly the Prep Access Now website, the PAM website and the PAM Facebook page are probably the easiest place to go. They no longer have one preferred pharmacy. They will give you the six available pharmacies. You can make your own choice.
Yep.
And it's now getting down to $40 or $50 a month, so that's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And in fact, Simon, we're going to put some of the links onto our podcast after the broadcast. So thanks once again, Simon Ruth. It is always fantastic talking to you,
Simon.
CEO of VAC. And
cheers,
thanks
guys.
For being on The Informer once again.
That's all right. Cheers. Bye.
Now, of course, hopefully we have Darryl O'Donnell, the CEO of the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, on the line. That's AFAO. Are you there, Darryl?
I am. Thanks for the invitation to be on.
It's great to hear from you.
Good evening, Darryl. We've heard a couple of ways that we can get PrEP, but we still can't go to our doctor, get a script and head to the local chemist and pay $38 for a government subsidised medicine. Why not? And when is that going to happen?
Yes, it's absolutely the way that we need to be able to access PrEP, and it's been a very long time coming. We've been talking about PrEP for a long time now, since about 2011 when the first trials started running, and we still don't have subsidised access in Australia, and so the wait's been long. But we are getting closer to the end of that process now. We've got before the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee for its July meeting, there are now two very serious applications for the listing of PrEP medication, and we're increasingly hopeful that we'll get a positive recommendation out of that committee at its meeting.
Now, you mentioned that there's actually two applications. So there's one from the manufacturer of Truvada and also one from somebody else. Can you tell us about those applications?
Yeah, that's right. So Gilead is the manufacturer of Truvada, and they made a submission last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did do one last year.
That's right. That's right, for the July 2016 meeting. And that was rejected by PBAC. But they've come back to the table for the July 2017 meeting, and we're pleased to see that. So their application for brand name Truvada will be there for consideration.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition, there's a new company called Mylan, or sometimes known as Alpha Farm in Australia. But Mylan are a global company that produce generic medications, and they have a generic version of Truvada, which has the same effect as Truvada, as the brand name medication, same effect, but at a much lower price because it's a generic version of that product.
Is that the version that's actually being imported at the moment for the trials that are being held in Queensland, New South Wales, and Victoria?
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
Some of the early trials ran with the brand name Truvada, but actually most of the trials running in Australia are actually running with the generic version that's actually provided by Mylan, and Mylan have now got the application in before PBAC.
Okay. Darryl, what can we do? What are organisations doing and what are individuals doing to... We've got a double chance this time to get it through, but what can we do?
I think we can put submissions forward before PBAC. So when PBAC consider this, they're not worried about safety and efficacy. All of those questions have already been addressed by the Therapeutic Goods Administration earlier on in this process. So even though we've had sad news about the PrEP failure and the concerning news about the PrEP failure, you've also heard from a range of people tonight that that's not something we need to be concerned about in the broader overall picture of just how powerfully effective this is. So what PBAC will want to know is this cost effective? Is it actually going to help us to achieve our goal, the national HIV strategy goal of driving down rates of HIV? And is the price affordable? So part of what we can do is actually put our views forward as community organisations, as members of the community. We can let PBAC know our views about that, to let them know that this matters, that gay men care about this, are mobilised around this, want access to this, and that the community's ready and to make it available to us now. Subsidised through the PBS.
Yeah, look, it's quite interesting because in a way we're sort of looking at it in a sort of a scientific way, but at the same time, you know, Ian and I were at the Candle Vigil last Sunday night, which is on every year, and we're sort of remembering all the way back, and we're actually looking forward to a time of hope where hopefully new infections will be almost zero by the year 2020, and that's the sort of goal that AFAO has and all these other organisations.
It's absolutely astonishing. You know, Simon was just talking about this, just how much the world has changed. And, you know, for all of us who lived through the early years of the epidemic and the years when we were losing so many members of our community and through, you know, that terrible period of death and illness, you know, there is still a huge toll of HIV, but it's not as it was. And I think many of us would never have expected in a lifetime to be able to hope for an end to AIDS in Australia and globally, to hope for an end to HIV. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of work to be done. It's a really ambitious goal, but it is such a lovely thing for us to be able to fight for that, to continue the fight we've started 35 years ago and to fight for the end of this.
And that's what we're looking for. Look, thank you very much. It's once again great talking to you, Daryl, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Daryl.
Coming up now, we have an interview, which is with Mind Equality. Shannon Power, our executive producer, has put this interview together this afternoon.
Bronwyn Lawman is the Executive Director of Operations at the Mind Equality Centre. She joins us on The Informer. What is the Mind Equality Centre?
The Mind Equality Centre is a dedicated LGBTIQ specialist mental health and wellbeing centre in North Fitzroy, and it's something that we're incredibly proud of. The centre currently offers psychological counselling, family and relationship counselling, occupational therapy and sex therapy, all of that in a safe and supported environment. And we also have plans to link people into legal jobs and housing support, which is also important for a group of people who may have experienced discrimination in many areas of their lives. Mm-hmm. And while the centre is located in Melbourne's inner city, access to the service is not restricted to local people. We're having people come from far away as Frankston, and even we've had a Skype client from regional Victoria trying to access our service for support.
That's fantastic. So it seems obviously there's a very holistic approach to the services. Why was there a need to make something like the Mind Equality Centre?
So statistics show that there's a real need for additional resources for this community. The LGBTI community have the highest rate of suicide in Australia of any group, and much higher rates of mental illness than the general population. And this really has to be addressed, and that gap for appropriate services needs to be filled. Mm-hmm. Even though LGBTIQ people are much more visible in the community now, mm-hmm. and the acceptance of sexual and gender diversity is more prevalent than, say, 30 years ago, many LGBTI people still encounter discrimination, harassment, and violence. And I've actually seen that firsthand. I've experienced it myself. I've also seen friends take their own lives because they felt they would never really be accepted or fit in with the norm. So mainstream services don't always feel culturally safe, even if they provide excellent treatment. And it can be really difficult to talk about the experience of feeling different with straight or hetero people, even if they're open-minded and caring. our staff are skilled professionals from the LGBTI community.
So it's a very, very safe space because not only are the services, I guess, catered to the LGBTIQ community, but the staff are also there. So there's the people can walk in free from judgment. Tell us, Bronwyn, how does a person access your services?
We have a 1300 number. You can ring and book an appointment. All of our therapists at the centre have a Medicare provider number, so making Medicare and private health rebates available to service users. We're also registered for access to allied psychological services, or that's commonly known as ATAPS, which means that clients would be eligible for 12 sessions. We also have Medicare bulk billing available to clients with a referral and a mental health treatment plan from a GP or another clinician. And we also welcome private bookings.
So it's almost a one-stop shop, really, for LGBTIQ people. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a fantastic service. It's something I'm really proud of, and it feels very welcoming and safe. And we've got some really great therapists working there that really care about the community. You can also give us a call during business hours. We've got a number, 1300 054 284, or you can email us on Mind Equality Centre at mindaustralia.org.au.
Congratulations on the centre's opening. Obviously, it's a very much needed service for the Victorian LGBTIQ community. Could you please let us know what hours the service is open?
We're open Monday to Friday at this stage, and we do have some capacity to have later appointments after work hours as well, so that, you know, people can be seen after work as well.
Bronwyn Lawman, Mind's Executive Director of Operations, thank you for your time and congratulations on setting up this fantastic service for the LGBTIQ community in Victoria.
Thanks very much, Shannon.
That's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. to bring you the day's big news from an LGBTI perspective.
And a podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au/podcasts or on your preferred podcast platform.
We'd like to thank tonight's guests, Jennifer Hoy, the Director of Victorian HIV Services from the Alfred, Simon Ruth, CEO of the VAC, and Daryl O'Donnell, CEO of Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, AFAO.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.